Well, shalom, everyone. We are so glad that you have joined us for this week's teaching. You know, his word tells us, great shalom have those who love his Torah, and nothing will cause them to stumble. So that is the very reason of why we're coming and getting into his word, is because we love his Torah. We love his commands and his instructions. And when we walk in his commands, when we learn his commands, they were a light into our path. We build a firm and a strong foundation, and nothing will cause us to stumble. His word brings us wisdom and guidance and helps us navigate through the world that we are currently living in right now. So let's go ahead and read our first passage here. We are going to be talking about Elijah today. We are in 1 Kings chapter 17. And verse 1 says, now Elijah the Tishbite of Tishbe in Gilead said to Ahab, as Yahweh the God of Israel lives before whom I stand, there shall be neither dew nor rain these years except by my word. I want to pause here for just a moment just to make a point, not really what today's teaching is about. But Israel is now going to have a drought. We see the word is coming from Elijah, okay? The reason for the drought is because Israel has not been walking in obedience with God and to his commands. Now remember, the Torah tells us, he says, a blessing unto those who obey my commands and a curse to those who disobey. The reason that we obey his commands is out of love, okay? We do not obey his commands trying to earn a salvation or trying to earn our justification or redemption. Our redemption, salvation, justification, the fact that we are forgiven of our sins and cleansed of all of our unrighteousness, and we find ourselves in right standing with God, points to one thing and one thing only, and that is the blood of Yeshua. It is believing that he died upon the cross for our sins. He was buried and he resurrected 3 days later, and he is alive sitting at the right hand of the Father right now. That is where we find forgiveness, is in the blood of Yeshua. But we find ourselves in a covenant relationship with our Heavenly Father, with Yahweh. And our end of the covenant is to love him with all of our heart and to love our neighbor. Now, we show our love for him by obeying his commands. We love our neighbors by obeying his commands. All of his commands can be broken down into two things. They're either instructing us and teaching us on how to love him, or they're teaching and instructing us on how to love people. We don't just sit back and say, I'm going to love people, but I'm going to do it the way I want to do it, or I'm going to choose how to love my neighbor. We don't set the standard. He has set the standard. He has set the target on how we are to love our neighbor. So when we sin, what is sin? Sin is to miss the mark. It's to miss the goal, the target that is there. So when we sin, what we have done is we've missed the mark in one of two areas, either in loving people or in loving God. So Israel is walking in sin, and because of that, now they're receiving the curse from their disobedience, and there will be no rain over these days to come, over these years to come, it actually says in the verse. So our Heavenly Father, who desires to walk in covenant with us, disciplines his people whom he loves. Scripture tells us that he disciplines those who are his sons in order to keep us connected with him, in fellowship with him, and in covenant with him. Because if he doesn't discipline us, our wayward hearts, our hard hearts, would pull us out of covenant with him. And we don't want to stand before him and for him to look at us and say, depart from me, for I did not know you. So he brings his discipline. So as we go back here, we see Elijah is receiving the word from Yahweh. He is receiving guidance from Yahweh. So Yahweh, his end of the covenant is to be our God. So we think, what does it mean for him to be our God? Well, number one, he is the only one true living God who is all powerful, all knowing. There's nothing that he is incapable of doing. Okay. So he promises to those who are in covenant with him to be their God. So he is going to be your protector. He will protect you. It doesn't mean that when you're in covenant with him, that everything in life is going to run smooth and be perfect, and you will have no trials, no temptations, no hardships. It doesn't mean that. But what it means is in the hardships, he will not leave you and he will not abandon you and he will see you through it. So he will provide for you. You will never lack. As David said, I've never seen the righteous begging for bread. He will be your healer. He will bring healing to your body, your soul, and your mind. His desire is for us to be perfectly whole in all aspects of our lives, in our spiritual being, in our souls, in our minds, and in our body. He desires us to be prosperous in those areas, okay? And that is his promise, is that he will bring healing unto us. He is our God. We can have that faith and that expectation because we are in a covenant relationship with him. Okay? Now, let's go on here with the verse. In verse 2, so we have this drought that's going on. And the word of Yahweh came to him. Depart from here and turn eastward. And hide yourself by the brook Kereth, which is east of the Jordan. You shall drink from the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed you there. So he went and did according to the word of Yahweh. He went and lived by the brook Kereth, that is east of the Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning, and bread and meat in the evening, and he drank from the brook. So in the midst of what we see going on with the discipline that's coming unto Israel, we see the droughts occurring. So Yahweh comes to Elijah, who is walking in covenant with him. And he hears the voice of Yahweh. And he directs him to a certain place to go. And he has set up a way to provide for his covenant child during this drought. That's something that we can learn from. We, as we're walking in covenant with Yahweh, we will go through periods, and there will be times where things can get hard and get rough around us. But we know that we can look to him to know that he is going to be faithful. Scripture even tells us that he is faithful even when we are unfaithful. Now, Elijah is led by the Spirit. Yahweh is leading him. Yahweh has given us his Spirit to lead us, to guide us. So just as Elijah is given directions on how he can sustain his life through this drought, the Holy Spirit will come and will lead us and guide us. God's love for Elijah and his faithfulness to Elijah went to the point that he commanded ravens to bring food for Elijah to eat while he sat by this brook. So he had food to eat and he had water to drink. Yahweh was providing for his child. And Yahweh will provide for us. But when we look at Elijah in this story, God provided for Elijah, but Elijah just didn't get to sit where he was at. He was given an instruction on where to go, on what to do. So God's going to provide for us, and he will bring healing, and he will protect us, and he will guide us through this path that we're walking. But we have to be like Elijah, and we have to have our ears open to what he is telling us to do. We need to be in tune with his spirit so we can hear the word of Yahweh. He has given us his word and his instructions and the written word that we read before us. And that guides us and leads us every single day. Yes, his Holy Spirit will never lead us to disobey his commands or his word. But as we see here in this verse, God will also come along, and by his Holy Spirit, he will lead and he will guide and he will give us instructions that is beyond what we find in Scripture. And we need to have our ears open to hear those instructions, and we need to have the faith and the belief to follow those instructions and expect that when we follow his instructions, that his goodness is going to follow, his blessings going to follow, and we're going to see his faithfulness. Elijah followed the instructions that were given unto him, and he saw the faithfulness of his God. If we're not seeing his faithfulness at times, maybe sometimes we need to stop and pause and think. Am I listening? Has he instructed me to do something that I'm not doing? Am I not in the right place at the right time? Elijah had to be in the right place at the right time. Are we walking with him? See, we're walking with him. The written word leads us as a path. That's the beginning of walking with him, but we also have the additional instructions that he's going to give us. And that's the question. Are we walking with him? Are we led by his spirit? And again, being led by his spirit doesn't lead us into disobedience. But are we led by his spirit? Are we following his spirit? Are we in tune with what his spirit is telling us each and every single day? Because if we can learn to be in tune with his spirit and when his spirit is speaking unto us and guiding us and leading our decisions, then when he, just like when he instructed Elijah to go to the brook to be fed by the ravens, we will hear that instruction, we will follow that instruction, and we will reap the rewards of his faithfulness and his blessings. Let's look at an example of Yeshua being led by the Holy Spirit in Luke chapter 4 and verse 1. And Yeshua, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the wilderness. So this is immediately upon Yeshua being water baptized by John the Baptist. And as Yeshua came up out of the water, we see that the dove descended upon his shoulder. And we hear the Heavenly Father saying, This is my beloved son. At that moment in time, Yeshua is immersed. He is baptized and filled with the Holy Spirit. So even our Messiah, the one who was without sin, who walked perfectly, obeyed the law of God perfectly, had to be filled with the Holy Spirit. If he needed to be filled with the Holy Spirit, how much more do we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit? And as we read through the life of what Yeshua did, it shows us what every believer is capable of doing when they are filled with his Holy Spirit. It's us having to learn how to walk in the Spirit and be in tune with the Holy Spirit as much as he was. Yeshua was perfect at walking in the Spirit and dying to the flesh. That is what we have to perfect in our lives. We have to perfect learning how to walk in his Spirit, being led by his Spirit, and dying to our flesh. Our flesh is what gets in the way. But the good news is that in those moments when our flesh wins, his blood is there, and he is still faithful to forgive his children. What we have to be careful of is the outright rebellious heart that purposefully practices sin and has no desire of repenting of their sin. Now, so Yeshua is filled with the Holy Spirit. He's immediately led by the Holy Spirit into the wilderness. And it's interesting that as he's led into the wilderness, for 40 days, Yeshua would go without food or water, and he would be tempted by the devil as he fasted for 40 days. Now, we are not tempted by God, but if we are following his Holy Spirit, if we're being led by his Holy Spirit, there's no promise that temptation is not going to be awaiting us as we're being led by his Spirit. Because immediately upon Yeshua being led by the Spirit, he faces temptation. So you will face temptation when you're led by his Spirit, because the evil one knows. The devil knows. And the last thing the devil wants is for you to be walking in covenant with Yahweh, for you to be filled with his Holy Spirit, and for you to be led by his Holy Spirit. Because then you become a danger unto his kingdom. So he is going to meet you with resistance. But we have to be able to be like Yeshua was and stand up against that resistance. Stand up against the temptation and the trial and overcome it. And how did Yeshua overcome the temptation? He quoted God's law. He quoted the Torah. He used the Torah for what it is for, to guide us, to lead us, to overcome temptation that is there. When temptation comes our way, what keeps us grounded? What keeps us from stumbling over that stumbling block? The devil put three stumbling blocks in front of Yeshua. He did not stumble because he loved God's Torah. And because he loved it, he obeyed it. When temptation comes our way, we need to know what his scripture says about that temptation. And we need to quote that scripture. We need to build our faith and our expectation and to where we can overcome that temptation. It is not by our flesh, but it's by our Spirit. It's us yielding unto his spirit that we can overcome temptation. You're not going to be able to bear down and get enough effort on your own to say, finally, I'm done. I'm not doing this anymore. It's not on your strength, but it is by his spirit. Let's look at Acts chapter 16 and verse 6. Here's an example of Paul being led by the Spirit. And they went through the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia. When they had come up to Mysia, they attempted to go into Bethania, but the Spirit of Yeshua did not allow them. So passing by Mysia, they went down to Troas, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia was standing there, urging him and saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. When Paul had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go on into Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. It's interesting. What was the command given unto the disciples and to us? To go into all the world and make disciples. But here we see as Paul is going on his journey, he desires to go into Asia to speak the gospel. He is doing what was commanded, to go into all the world. We don't know why he was forbidden by the Holy Spirit to go into Asia at that time. Maybe that wasn't the right place at the right time. There is another place that God wanted him to be at that moment. So the Holy Spirit is going to direct him a different way. The Holy Spirit is going to lead him to the right place for him to be at that moment in time. So this is an example of that. So even we are instructed to be a witness, to go out into the world and to speak of the gospel of Yeshua Messiah. But even going into our Jerusalem and into our Judea, we need to be guided by his Spirit. If we can learn to be guided by his Spirit, we'll find ourselves, you could say, in the right place at the right time. And maybe even find ourselves being a little bit more fruitful in our endeavors upon what we're doing. Because we never know where a person's at, what work he's been doing on an individual, and they're just waiting for that right person to come along and to say the right words. So it's learning how to be guided by his Spirit, because he will guide you to talk to certain people. He will guide you to say certain words. He will guide you to do certain things because he knows. So if we can learn to trust him in that regard and allow his Spirit to help us be that witness, not just taking the approach that I've been told to go into the world, preach his gospel, and his Spirit gives me boldness. He desires to help us more than just the fact that he gives us boldness. But he desires to lead us on how to do it, when to do it, what to say, and even who to say it. Now let's go back to 1 Kings chapter 17 and verse 8. So Elijah has been sitting by the brook. The brook dries up from water. So he brings an additional instruction unto Elijah. So verse 8 here. The word of Yahweh came to him. Arise, go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow there to feed you. So he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, a widow was there gathering sticks. And he called to her and said, bring me a little water in a vessel that I may drink. And as she was going to bring it, he called to her and said, bring me a morsel of bread in your hand. And she said, as Yahweh your God lives, I have nothing baked, only a handful of flour in a jar and a little oil in a jug. And now I am gathering a couple of sticks that I may go in and prepare it for myself and my son, that we may eat it and die. And Elijah said to her, do not fear. Go and do as you have said. But first, make me a little cake out of it and bring it to me. And afterward, making something for yourself and your son. For thus says Yahweh, the God of Israel, the jar of flour shall not be spent, and the jug of oil shall not be empty until the day that Yahweh sends rain upon the earth. And she went and did as Elijah said. And she and he in her household ate for many days. The jar of flour was not spent, neither did the jug of oil become empty, according to the word of Yahweh that he spoke by Elijah. So Elijah's sitting by this brook. The water has dried up. So God comes to him and gives him another instruction. It is now time for you to move from this spot and go to another spot. I have prepared another spot to sustain you during this drought. So Elijah obeys God. He goes to the next spot, finds this widow and this son who has so little food remaining that she's at the point where she is about to make their last meal before they give up and die. That is where Elijah has been sent. How would you respond if you were Elijah? You've been sitting by a brook. Food has been brought to you every single day by ravens. Now you're instructed to go to another spot. And upon getting there, it looks hopeless. But what does Elijah tell her? Do not fear, but if you will make me a little cake first and bring it to me to eat, then afterward you and your son eat, then your jar of flour and your jug of oil will not run empty. We see the faith and the expectation that needed to be there. The widow obeys what Elijah tells her. And in her obeying Elijah, she's actually obeying God, because Elijah is speaking God's word. So she's obedient to the commands that God is giving, the instructions that he is giving at that moment in time. Was Elijah sent there to show the faithfulness of God to this widow and son, so they would not die? There's reason to believe that this widow was probably righteous as well, which is why her life was saved. We could think that. But I believe Elijah was sent there because God could continue to have sustained Elijah while sitting by the brook. But he sent him there to show the faithfulness to Elijah and to the widow and the son. And the widow saw Yahweh's faithfulness. She and her son was sustained throughout the drought because she did not respond to Elijah in fear and tell him, "No, I do not have enough bread for you." But she gave him a little cake, because I do believe that she believed that she gave it unto Elijah what he said would happen, and it happened. So she saw the faithfulness of God. Sometimes in our being obedient and listening to what he tells us to do, sometimes we may find ourselves in a situation that does not seem to make a whole lot of sense. Like why something is being done a certain way. But sometimes, and it could very well be, that Yahweh is using that situation and is using you to show his faithfulness unto somebody else. Let's look at John chapter 14 and verse 15. "If you love me, you will keep my commandments." This was Yeshua speaking unto the disciples when he is about to promise them the Holy Spirit, who he has given us to lead us and guide us. And it's interesting. Before he talks about the promise of what he is giving us, the gift of what we're getting, he says, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments." Remember, we obey him because we love him, not because we're trying to earn our forgiveness or our salvation, but we keep his commandments because we love him. Keeping his commandments is how we show him we love him. It's how we walk in a covenant relationship with him. It's how we are led by his Spirit as well. Let's go on to verse 16. "And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world will see me no more, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live." He has given us his Holy Spirit, which is our helper, to lead us and guide us. It's interesting. His Spirit is called the Spirit of truth. His Torah is truth. So his Spirit is going to lead us according to his law. And his Spirit is also going to lead us in everyday decisions as we navigate through this world. His Spirit is given unto us to help us. To help us in our journey and walking in righteousness, but also his Spirit is given unto us to help us in fulfilling the commission, the assignments that he has given unto us. His Spirit is with us each and every single day. If we will just take the time to speak with his Spirit, to listen to his Spirit, and to be guided by his Spirit. And when we hear his Spirit, to have the faith and the belief to follow it and be obedient to what his Spirit is telling us to do. Because if we do, we will see the faithfulness of God at work in our lives. Well, hallelujah, we are so glad that you have joined us this week for this teaching. We will be back again next week with another teaching, so come back now, and shalom, y'all.